The reading this morning is from Exodus 15. I'm beginning to read at verse 19. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea." Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. This is the word of the Lord. Thank
you. So, we've been thinking about different aspects of God throughout November. We've been looking at different names for God in the Old Testament and different understandings of who God is to try and develop our understanding of who God is so that we can develop our faith and how we live out our faith day to day. And today we're thinking about God, our healer. And I want you to turn to the person next to you and discuss with them how easy or difficult it was for you to get a day off school when you were a kid. So were your parents kind of pushovers and you could just say, "Oh, I don't feel very well," and they said, "Fine, we'll ring the school, you can have the day off," or was it really difficult? So turn to your neighbour or the person around you and discuss. Okay, let's have a bit of show of hands then. So whose parents were a pushover? For whom was it really easy to get the day off school? Oh, not many. There's one hand at the back. And who's... Oh, yeah, and a hand there. With mum pointing as well. So, okay. And what about... For whom was it really tricky? You know, you had to really lay it on thick to get the day off. Who never had a day off from school? Is there anybody who's never had a day off? A few people. A friend of mine, both her parents were doctors. And it was impossible. She never had a day off school because she just couldn't, you know, they'd be like, "Oh, you're fine. Get to school." And so that was really tricky. I remember I think my parents were somewhere in the middle. Like, they would give me a day off school, but you kind of had to be properly poorly. But I remember going through a time when I was at secondary school when I was quite unhappy. There's some parts of secondary school that I enjoyed, but there's quite chunks of it where I was just quite unhappy. It certainly wasn't the best days of my life or whatever it's meant to be. And I really didn't want to go to school. And I started feeling quite anxious about it. And so I thought, it'd be good if I had a tummy ache, because then, or something, you know, then I could say to my mum and dad, "I'm just not well enough to go." And as my worry developed, actually, I realised that I did have a tummy ache. So what came as sort of an idea of, if I could fake it, became real. And we know now, don't we, that there's a lot of connections between our, what we might call our mental health or our kind of emotional health and our physical health. Whereas we used to think those things were quite separate, now actually we're beginning to understand that they're connected, that there's a lot of connections. And you might go and see your doctor when you've got a poorly tummy or a poorly arm or something, but you also might go and see your doctor when you're feeling depressed or anxious. These things that maybe aren't quite so physical, but they might have physical connections. And in fact, if we're feeling anxious, if we're feeling depressed, we're more likely to have physical symptoms. That we now know that those things are connected. And I'd like us to hold that thought while we go back to this passage. So the passage that Tina read for us this morning was from the book of Exodus. And the big story, the big narrative in Exodus is that God's people are slaves and they need to move from being slaves to being free people. If they're really going to be the people that God's called them to be, which is to be blessed but also to bless other nations, then they can't do that if they're slaves. And so there's a movement that happens, and probably the most famous bit of the story that you might know is when they walk through the Red Sea, when the sea is parted and they walk through. And the passage we had from the Bible this morning is just after that moment. So they've come through, and they've come through safe, and then the water crashes in on the enemies that are trying to chase, the Egyptians that are trying to chase the Israelites and bring them back into slavery. And so they enter freedom. And so that's fantastic. But actually what we find is that as soon as they enter this freedom, they start grumbling and moaning because they don't have any water. And they arrive at a place where there is water, but the water is too, it says it's too bitter. Basically, it's undrinkable water. And the people moan to Moses, and Moses cries out to God, and God changes the water so that they can drink it. So it's an idea of God providing. But then there's a really interesting verse where God says this. God essentially says, if you keep my commands, then I am the Lord who heals you. If you keep my commands, then I will be your healer. Now, we might look at that and think, well, that seems a bit sort of cruel. It's a bit tyrannical to say, well, if you do what I say, then you'll be okay. But if you don't, then you, you know, you're going to have all kinds of illnesses and diseases. And as we've been looking at the Old Testament as a church, we've recognized that often what we see in the Old Testament is that our understanding, people's understanding of who God is growing and developing all the time. So this idea that illnesses come from God was there at that point. They'd see that, well, if you're ill, then it's probably because you've done something bad. In fact, there's a book in the Old Testament called Job, where when Job gets poorly, all his friends say, oh, well, you must have done something really bad. You must have upset God, and that's why you're so poorly. That's why you've got all these spots all over your body and you're really sick. It's because you've done something bad. And here God is saying, if you keep my commands, you will be healed. I will be your healer. And here is where I want to go back to that link between how we are physically and how we are emotionally and spiritually. So if we think about this bit here where God says, if you keep my commands, the commands that God is talking about are commands to do with washing, to do with how you prepare food, to do with sexual health. When we look at the commands of God, they're all to do with those things. Now, what do all those things have in common? Well, they're all to do with health, aren't they? Because how you wash and how you keep clean, for those people living in those times, thousands of years ago, if they didn't keep clean because sanitation wasn't good, then they would get very sick, and then they would die, and disease would spread throughout the camp and throughout the people. So keeping these commands of God about how you wash, about how you prepare food, and about sexual health, were there to keep people healthy. So it's not keep my commands and then I'll be your healer. Like if you do what I say, these arbitrary rules that I'm just making up, then I will heal you. He's saying through keeping my commands, you will be well. Because my commands aren't just there for the sake of it, because I don't want you to have fun. My commands are there because I love you. Because I want you to be well. I want you to care for each other and to be cared for. So if you keep my commands, I will be your healer. So here we have this link between the spiritual things, our relationship with God, how we connect with God, keeping God's commands, and our health. And in fact, recent research shows that people of faith, people who regularly pray, people who regularly attend church, are healthier emotionally and mentally. That's been proven. And it's because when you pray, it's like a form of meditation. So you're calming yourself down. You're not being constantly bombarded by the things of the world. You're finding a bit of peace and a bit of space. And when you come together in a community like this at church, we're coming out of that individualist mentality where we think it's all about us and there's a lot of pressure to perform, to be the best that we can be, and it's all about me and how much money I can earn and the thing and whether I'm good enough and what does my Facebook profile look like and do I look cool on Instagram. It becomes about something bigger than ourselves when we're part of a church. We're part of a community. And all these things have been shown to improve our emotional and our mental health. There's a connection between our relationship with God, our relationship with spirituality, with the divine, and how we are
mentally and emotionally. Now, this doesn't mean that people who go to church don't get depressed or get anxious, because that's not true. But in fact, it means that in our depression and our anxiety, we have tools to help us. We have God and our spirituality, but we also have each other. We can share our things in community with each other, be prayed for and be loved. But all this about God and about healing leads to a question to do with illness and to do with sickness. A question that's been asked for thousands of years is, where is God when we suffer and when we're poorly and when people are sick, when people are ill? Where is God when a child gets cancer? And maybe two obvious responses to this might be, well, the first one is that God causes it. That God is the cause of sickness. You know, God is all-powerful, and if somebody's sick, then it's because God wants them to be sick. That's one possible response. Another possible response is that God is powerless. So God doesn't want us to be sick, but when we are sick and poorly, God can't do anything about it. He's just not strong enough. You know, he might be, you know, you can say your prayers, but actually he's not going to do anything about it because he's just not powerful enough. Well, actually, the Bible would go against both these things. In fact, the Christian tradition and the Christian understanding would go against both these thoughts. Because, first of all, what we see in the person of Jesus is somebody who healed people. And in fact, in the Gospel of John, Jesus encounters a blind man. And the story goes like this. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Jesus, who sinned that this man... who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So the disciples have an assumption that the reason this man is blind is because somebody has sinned, somebody's done wrong. Either the man himself or his parents have done some kind of sin, so that's why he's blind. And Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sinned. This happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And then Jesus goes on to heal that man, to cure his blindness. So here we see two things. First of all, that first question is that God causes it, or, you know, because someone's bad, therefore they get this illness. And Jesus says, no, that's not the reason. It's not because the man sinned. It's not because his parents sinned. Things like this just happen. It's part of our broken world. And secondly, that God is powerless. Well, Jesus, in his ministry, continually healed people. In fact, there are 30 specific accounts of Jesus' healing, and then there's other times where it just says Jesus healed many. The crowds came to him, many were sick, and Jesus healed them. In fact, 1/5 of the Gospels is accounts of Jesus' healing. So it's not that God is powerless. But the reality is, still, that people get sick. People get very sick, and sometimes people die. And we as Christians might pray for people to get well, and sometimes they get well, sometimes there are amazing miracles, but actually more often than not, they don't get well. And that's why they're called miracles, isn't it? Because they don't happen all the time. And to understand this, and to understand, well, what is our response to this, a world where there is sickness, we need to look at the big story of the Bible, which starts with human beings choosing their own way instead of God's way. And when that happens, there's a separation that happens between God and people. In fact, the rest of the Bible is about trying to get that reconnection. Where that disconnection has happened, the rest of the Bible is about trying to make that reconnection happen. Oh dear, we've got a bit of a fight going over Peppa Pig at the moment. Peppa Pig's car, I think. Oh dear. So the rest of the Bible is about trying to reconnect people and God. And what happened when that separation happened is that all kinds of brokenness entered the world. And we see this on lots of different levels. So in terms of the earth, we see brokenness in the fact that there is earthquakes and storms and terrible things happen. We also see brokenness within ourselves in the fact that we're often selfish. Even though I think that we're actually all made to be good, and we know that we know the difference between right and wrong, sort of innately we know it. That often we choose the selfish way and the easy way rather than the good way. So there's brokenness within ourselves, but there's also brokenness, I believe, within us physically. So there's cells that react against other cells that become cancerous. And there's brokenness. There's also healing within us, isn't there? Because when we cut ourselves, our body is very quick to kind of send the right cells to try and make that healing happen. So we've also got that within us. But we've also got this thing within us that means that sometimes we get sick and sometimes we get poorly. And when Jesus came, his message was, the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus' message was that heaven was coming to earth, that that reconnection was about to happen. And he showed that, of course, when he healed people and he made them well. But he ultimately showed that when he died on the cross and then rose again, because in doing that, he broke the power of death. He made it possible for us to know God now in this life and to know God in the life to come. And that's the big overarching story of the Bible. And that the Bible ends with the new heaven and new earth. And it says that one day there will be no more sickness and no more death and no more suffering. And one day we will reach that point where these realities that we live with now, the sicknesses of our own bodies, one day will be overcome. And that is what we're looking forward to. But in the meantime, we live in life now where there is sickness. It's a reality. So how do we respond to that? Because there's the life now and there's the world to come. And occasionally, we see miraculous things happen where heaven invades earth and we see amazing things happen, where glimpses of heaven impact on our earthly life. And in Jesus, we saw that happen again and again and again, and we see that occasionally now. But how do we respond to the future? How do we respond to suffering and to death? Well, I think there's two main things I want to finish with here. The first is that when people hurt, and when we hurt, God hurts too. And that suffering is not part of God's will. In fact, it's the opposite. It's part of what God doesn't want for us. And that ultimately, one day, all things will be made well. But secondly, I think our response to suffering and our response to death is one of hope. Because we know that the story ends with death being defeated, with hope being restored, and that ultimately, there is hope in every situation, in every sickness, and in every amount of suffering. We need to remember that God is our healer. And we might not see that this side of heaven, but that we will see it eventually.